We are recording, Nick. This is the podcast.
Welcome to the Danko official Danko Jones podcast.
That's right. And this is...
sponsored by.
Well, supported by.
Supported by.
Skull Candy headphones and Blue Mic microphones and Chino Locos.
Chino Locos. Maybe I'll eat there one day.
You haven't eaten there?
No. You just told me it was sponsored by it and... I haven't heard hide nor hair since.
It's one of my favorite places in Toronto, and it's basically taking Mexican food and Chinese food and meshing it all together in burritos.
Oh, that's the one at Broadview and yeah. Gerard, is
oh,
it?
Oh, God.
Dundas? Broadview and Dundas. I know exactly where it is. It's right across from the Don Jail. It's across from a jail.
There's a couple of places.
Well, I'll be going then if it's a wonderful combo of these two.
Chino Locos rules. Anyways, so here we are. It's the Damien Abraham episode, but this is the seventh Damien Abraham
episode. I
can't
believe it's his seventh appearance.
Yeah, this is...
That's crazy.
He is in the theme song of this podcast.
Is he the most guested guest?
Mm-hmm.
Especially yeah, when you throw in... Is
by a long shot.
Seven, that's including like all of the times I wasn't there when you interviewed people, right?
That is including Chris Jericho, Duff McKagan. Those are the two that he kind of he partnered up with me on those episodes, and he was the of those episodes.
Making little jokes and asides.
And he was...
probably being nicer than me.
One of our first guests. Our first guest was Brendan Canning.
Yes.
He was also up there in appearances. But since this... these appearances on our podcast, he has since started his own podcast called Turned Out a Punk.
Mm-hmm.
It is a fantastic podcast, and we all knew that if Damien had a podcast, he'd pretty much hit it out of the park.
Yeah, he's got a lot of experience talking at this point, being a media figure, being on Q in Toronto.
He is now on Q. He's on staff, on the CBC.
So, you know, he knows his deal, and he also picked... He did the thing you got to do with the podcast, which is he picked a theme, and then he picked a theme that was close to his heart.
Which is punk rock, and he interviews people who are either in punk rock, which is an obvious thing, or which I find more interesting is people who have a history with punk who are not necessarily, you know, identifying with punk or are identified with punk easily nowadays. Mm-hmm. For example, I was on it.
Mm-hmm.
I was the third episode.
That's an early one.
Yep. Yeah.
Outlier.
We talked before he had uploaded it. So he was telling me about this and preparing for it.
Dude, I'm so stoked on the podcast. That's my Damien impression. Hello, Danko.
That's pretty bang on.
Yes. I'll be touring soon.
And then you were recently a guest on.
He doesn't talk like that.
And I thought your episode with Damien, which was what, number 29, 28?
Yeah, I do not know the number.
He uploads these every week. So this is probably the 29th week this podcast has been up. I listened to it and I texted both of you separately saying that I enjoyed it a lot.
That was nice to get. That text made me feel really good.
I liked your candle box. I texted Damien and just the quote, your quote from the episode where you described noise rock as candlebox taking a hit of acid or something.
Oh my God. I don't know what that means.
And I think you got all your scene talk out of your system on Damien's podcast because I really kind of corral this podcast away from the minutiae and the scene talk.
Damien's podcast, and I don't know, I don't actually know if I've heard yours. I've made the intent.
No, I never thought you would have taken the time to listen
no,
to
the plan is always to take
my
the time.
Episode.
I've wanted to hear it for a while. It's just that I didn't yet because my life is empty, and that's actually a harder...
I see what you're going for.
It's so, you know, like, I've gotten clear.
You know, prey on my sympathy now since you haven't bothered to...
I was so late today to meet you. So...
How is that a new...
I feel like this was an exemplary one, although there was more of an excuse today.
And anyways...
We shouldn't talk about this.
Beyond Damien's podcast, which is a good starting
point. Turned out a punk.
Good starting point for this introduction. He's done, like we mentioned before, Q. He was a VJ on Much Music when it was still around.
Some Food Network stuff.
Some Vice TV stuff.
Most recently, he's been doing this like...
documentaries on
marijuana. Pot. And we talk about that in the podcast.
Definitely. And you know, Damien's someone who we share a lot about, like a lot of history with and a lot of interests with between the three of us. It's he's an easy guest.
And we're all also three Toronto front people.
That's true.
Of so a we certain have that. Point in time, you know.
And we all like Dungeons and Dragons and wrestling and punk rock.
So you're basically listening to three of the same people with varying degrees of organizational skills having a conversation. Get ready. It's going to be nuts. The Tango Jones podcast is the best around. Nick Flanagan and Tango Scoop to love for free. I'm so glad I do sometimes.
Damien from Fucked Up. Stop playing. Hang down. Down. I got to know Danko a few years ago when I used my vacation time to follow the band on the road. And I even spent a day with Danko in some European town that escapes me, but we ended up talking about 17th century art, his pet rock collection, the summers he spent as a teenage air traffic controller, his venomous snake collection, his passion for planking, and the night he spent with Ringo Starr's housekeeper. He's a fascinating character with a wealth of stories to share, and I'm a huge fan of Danko, but a bigger fan of his stories.
Danko Jones has a podcast. It's called the Danko Jones Podcast. La da 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 da. La da 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 da.
Well, Damien is here.
Yes.
Sometimes Damien from Fucked Up drops by and hangs out
too. I drop by to get my Danko Jones Garage Rock, a collection of lost songs from 1996 to 1998. This is probably like my favorite record of last year that I didn't have till right now.
Oh, yeah, wow. These are
Because like I've got some of these songs of just from like bootleg tape trading things, right, and like, oh, wow. And I have like the 7-inch.
Do you have the Violence Brothers songs on this?
The Violent Brothers?
Violent Brothers?
No, that is pre-Danko Jones.
That's going to be on a
I have to get in touch with edition. Paul, yeah, to put that out. We do have some songs, enough for a 7-inch at least.
Yeah, so I've been really wanting this, and so now I'm finally have it.
Jerry Teal.
From the Chrome Cranks.
Yeah.
Honeymoon Killers.
Mm-hmm.
Such lineage.
90s. Such lineage.
You've had so many lives in this music.
Wouldn't it be crazy if just like 90s culture like just reigned supreme for like 1,000 years?
Just like no one moves on.
This millennium.
Well, it was kind of the last moment of like quote-unquote original culture. So yeah,
when
probably
it was cool
will.
To smoke. Well, it like, was really like the last time it was cool to smoke.
Not those smoke weed. That's just becoming cooler and cooler.
No, weed was just the beginning of people being like, they were like...
Yeah, no, they were just learning about it.
Yeah, like Cypress Hill had to make...
I feel that too, right? Because NWA, Dr. Dre, they had that Express Yourself song.
Don't smoke weed or cess.
But yeah, that's like not even barely 90s. And then that's like 89.
And then he put out The Chronic 2 years later, yeah, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Easy called him on
weed
that.
Or stress until oh, I get...
No, don't smoke weed or cess because it's known to give a brother brain damage. Mm-hmm. Brain damage on a mic won't manage nothing, but making a sucker new equal. Don't be another sequel. Express Yourself.
It's a clean song. It's the cleanest NWA song.
So what? Was he fronting in that song? Or was there a full transition?
Didn't he not write his lyrics? Wasn't it Ice Cube that wrote all his lyrics? I thought that was the thing.
Yeah, I think Ren wrote a lot of the lyrics.
Or Ren too, yeah.
But Ice Cube did too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they both
did. But Ice Cube wrote a lot of Eazy-E's lyrics.
Yeah, and you can kind of hear it. Like, I feel like Dre sounds more like Ren on that album, you know, when he raps, whereas Eazy-E like really sounds like Ice
but
Cube.
Wait a minute, Ice Cube was out of the band when Express Yourself was released.
No, that's not true. That was on Straight Outta Compton.
Was it
Express Yourself? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So but, and then it was really NWA's. Oh my God, let's just talk about NWA for a second, guys, because I just that
movie.
Oh yeah, that I don't know
what
yet.
Movie.
There's a movie in NWA
Ice Cube's son as Ice Cube. Yeah,
it's coming out. Or did it come out?
Was no,
it
like a TV it's not movie? Out yet.
Whoa.
Like, that's culture awesome. Sneaks up on you now.
Quiet on the Set, I think that song came on my iPod when I was coming here, and I was like, and there's this world of, you know, hip-hop fandom that's kind of similar to maybe, I don't know what subculture you'd think of it. You know, the people, the kind of people who are like, man, Ren is the best member of NWA.
It's like the George Harrison culture around the Beatles.
Yeah, they you know, basically like, up they try to move because it's so hard to culturally make these parallels,
yeah.
You know, but you want to, so yeah. It's like that. That's like the instinct. So you go, oh well, NWA.
Well, it's like taking Beatles. But it's like the idea of taking like the weirder, the more obscure member, and saying and trying to argue that they're
the
best
underdog.
Member.
But
yeah, the underdog.
Ghetto Boys, for me, Ghetto Boys has like more of an argument for that because at least the other two members are so eccentric. They basically got these incredibly eccentric other two dudes.
Yeah.
And then the other guy who replaced Scarface is actually really talented. Big Mike or whatever his name was. Big Mike, I think.
Not Killer Mike.
No, his name was Big Mike. And then Scarface, who's obviously one of the best of all time, so you kind of have to give him the top dog thing. But so is Ice Cube. Ice Cube is head and shoulders above
Eazy-E and
as a rapper.
MC Ren.
Maybe it's not like not. Those Eazy-E solo records. Who wrote those ones?
I bet you it was... that's a really good question. I want to say it was somebody
DJ
involved.
DJ Quick?
No, DJ Quick was never on... Was he on Ruthless?
Too Short?
DJ Quick is great. DJ Quick is one of the best rappers on the mic.
Who was on Ruthless?
Thugs were signed really early on. And I keep wanting to say it was someone from Bone Thugs, but that wouldn't really make sense because...
They were young.
Well, I mean, we could talk about this for the whole podcast.
I know. That's the thing about... That's the thing is like, there are so many ways when the three of us get together... We can go. We always seem to go to inside jokes about local people.
Yeah.
But we could easily go to like wrestling.
Absolutely.
We could go to hip hop.
You know what it is, actually?
Rock,
it's the atmosphere
punk.
Of going to like a store like Suspect Video or when you were working there or, well, Sunrise. Can I say you worked at Sunrise? Is that okay?
Briefly.
Yeah. But
more music world.
Yeah, but that's a bit too like austere of an environment. But when you show up at like a cool sort of shop, and
like when
just
he worked at the
around,
adult store, and you and me used to just meet going to the booths.
Yeah,
it's like
Damon and I would come over and we'd say like, "Hey, what's the new pornos this week?"
Little roll of coins, go in.
Ron Jeremy's starting to lose his magic.
Is that what they're saying?
That's
what,
well, no.
Oh, that's what we were saying.
Say in 1994.
Is that what they're saying? I met him. That's why I'm so concerned.
Oh, my
God.
Did
I ever tell you where I met that dude?
Ron Jeremy?
Yeah. Because I'm sure you've run into him at festivals or anything.
No. I saw him in L.A. once. I think you can't go to L.A. and like not at least have a slight Ron Jeremy.
Not where I ran into him.
Oh,
I ran into him at All Tomorrow's Parties. A festival the year is curated by Jim Jarmusch.
That makes sense to
where
me.
Where was that?
In like upstate New York or
I
the Catskills?
I think my friend went to that and he signed her friend was like, "Hey, it's Ron Jeremy." They're like, "Can we do like a picture with you?" And then like they posed for a picture, but he like pinched her nipple or something in
Whoa.
The photo. Yeah, that's like a really weird gray area, right? If you like pose for a photo with like a known perv, are you basically who's like a celebrity?
You're asking him because
it's like
you
meet
think
Jeffrey
it's a joke.
Dahmer and you're like, let's take a picture together, and then he like kills you in the picture.
Yeah, kind of like well, I don't know where you all fall on the way the jury went on this one.
The Jinx?
My wife got a photo one time at the Louvre in Paris with O.J. Simpson after everything.
No way.
Yeah, when she was like graduating, she went on a school trip. And there
now,
was a
how did that,
so if he had stolen her memorabilia,
she like
she
now
posing.
Regrets it.
I was gonna say, like, that must have been just like celebrity impulse.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't think, like, you know, you don't put two
well,
and two together.
Well, not to go back to the 90s, but let's face it, a lot of the 90s.
Unless she's a football fan.
And you were talking
or a Naked
about,
Gun fan.
Yeah,
you
Naked
were talking
Gun.
About New York hardcore and people, you know, flirting with Nazism at times, you know, and far right stuff. It's like there's such an urge in that, especially in that era. To fucking be like bad and okay, there's something to like be like bad and to like buy a copy of Answer Me and be like,
oh
be like,
God,
look
yeah.
at this great article about how awesome white people are compared to every other race. You know, like that's
no,
so edgy.
I have like a box of records and a box of fanzines that I'm like, well, this is stuff that will never really be listened to, read.
Yeah.
Or discussed again, because it's just like stuff that was like so hateful. I have so many books about serial killers.
Yeah.
Like, when am I ever going to be like, ah, fuck, I need to go back and read about Dahmer.
That one's pretty interesting. He was chasing people.
Yeah, it's interesting. How deep do you want to go where you own the book or horror movies? Like,
let's talk for a second about what are the fascinating serial killers? So you got Zodiac's probably the most fascinating, right?
Yeah, Zodiac, I guess, because they haven't been caught.
Mystery. Is Henry Lee Lucas interesting?
I think they're all really just horrible. They're all like
the same.
Yeah, like, and then you really get down to it. Like, it's fine until you start thinking about the chain of events and the victims involved, and then it's like, oh, why did I ever?
I was talking about not cereal. Fascinated. I was talking it. About I was. Cereal. My friend.
You, oh yeah, you know, I'm on, I can't even listen to that.
Well, Nick did the theme for Cereal, and I like listened to it. And
Nick who?
Nick Thorburn, my friend. You gotta say yeah. And
I met Nick at the Vice 20 party.
Yeah, you guys were both at that weird Vice 20 thing, like what, like 5-6 months ago? Or
yeah, I got into like some sort of Escalade limo thing, and there's Steve McDonald,
right,
and Hank from Island.
And then you did the podcast.
That's like funny. That's like you're either in an Escalade or like where else would you guys meet? Like some like the satellite at the Neil Hammer show on a Sunday, like in LA. Like that would be the only other.
Well, that brings me to so many things have happened since you've last been on the podcast. It's been a year and a half.
It's been a year and a half, I guess. Wow.
But have you co-hosted any stuff together?
No,
because we were because that was like together. I guess that was in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't really ran into each other on. Well, you guys
supplanting my cycle. My space. Because well, there's that's not it. Budget in the
Boy,
Danko Jones.
Boy, were you
Jones,
sensitive about
in
it.
The Danko, there's no budget in the Danko Jones tour budget to like bring me as the co-host
Listen,
of the podcast.
It was kind of Duff and Jericho's call. Like they were just like, we don't want to do it with Nick. Is there any way we can not do it with Nick?
Yeah.
And, Rob, and he's like, who do I ask?
That's true. You do. Danko always gives the option to every person on the road to include to fly me in immediately.
Yeah.
And Rollins like, I don't think I want to do that. No. I'd rather just stand here and look
nice
at you.
He wrote Suck It Too, right?
No I want to tell you about my food blog for a second.
Rollins these days.
Can I tell you about my adventures meeting different chefs all across the world?
So since then, Damien
There's
has
some
a
really
podcast.
Intense chefs out there, guys.
Damien's got a podcast now. It's called Turned Out a Punk.
I've had someone on it.
I've been on it.
I'm having someone else on it.
Hey, I've got the. This is crazy. You're actually putting it on record.
I think, yeah, well, I guess now that you're back in the saddle again, but some people that are newer to the podcast might not know that you're one of the greatest Toronto front people of all time.
I'm like, my saddle is. Very
and I'm not just saying that for
Thank
this podcast.
You, that's really nice.
I've put that in print before in various publications.
It's really nice. But it's like, I'm trying to think of where I'm at right now in terms of being able to like functionally do that. And it's like, it's so
You just
impossible.
Played a show.
We just opened for Danko Jones. We're opening for Agent Orange and the Meat Man on Saturday. We're playing the Panache Showcase at North by Northeast.
So you're doing all right.
Our keyboardist is leaving the band. He is the only motivating factor in the entire group. Otherwise, it's just me and Andrew, these two guys who've known each other for like 22 years, just honestly staring at each other and being like, do we order pizza now?
So Damien's got a podcast now.
Oh, yeah.
Turned Out a Punk. It's great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I listen to it while I'm on the road.
Oh, I've also listened to it. You. I also think it's great.
Thank you.
Yeah,
it's interesting. That's all you need.
Sometimes I text them my reviews.
Yeah, there's like it's been funny because like you do a podcast and you know what it's like. You do the podcast and it's like you forget the microphone's on, and then next thing you know, someone's hitting you up like, hey, can you take out this one thing that I said?
Yeah.
And then so I've now learned how to edit. Yeah. I've like had to learn how to edit.
Which is great.
Getting to all these episodes.
Doing it yourself. You're editing
Oh,
yourself.
Everything. Yeah. It's
With GarageBand?
Yeah.
I should do
that's
a podcast.
That's one that's free with the, yeah, that's a free Mac one. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I use. Shout out to my friends at Mac.
and the fact they package GarageBand with their...
but yeah, that it was that, and then Rode microphones. No disrespect to the microphone sponsors on this podcast,
Blue Mics.
Yeah, send me
to us.
Send me Rode was amazing to me. Send me two microphones.
Yeah, Rode's amazing. those guys are great. All microphone brands are awesome.
Now you churn it out every 7 days. I've noticed.
Yeah,
Blue Mics are great.
We had a talk about this a while back in Australia, where you were kind of insisting that a podcast should have a set date.
Yeah. I kind of think so.
I think. I mean, he's
and I at the time I was like, I don't know. I'll put it out whenever I can. Now I do it every 2 weeks.
I know.
I mean, WTF.
I kind of think your way of doing it, though, every 2 weeks.
Buy yourself time.
It's what I'm thinking of maybe switching to at some point.
Is it nipping at your heels?
Nipping at my heels, definitely, because I had like 3 cancellations this week. Like yeah, 3 people just be like, hey, something came up, I can't do it. And it's like,
are you going to have any of the traveling punks coming in?
Trained people?
like some oogles on the show?
I hear that's a really derogatory term, Nick, so...
Is it a derogatory term?
Yeah.
Like, where does it... Is it English people?
I don't know. Like, apparently someone... I used it in common conversation. Someone's like, that's like a really derogatory term
for those types of people?
Yeah. I guess train hoppers? What are you guys
train punks.
Like, it's like the
lowest. I was just going to say the lowest. It's just the lowest form of being a punk?
But I mean, like, it's like crust, this brings up an amazing tangent.
We should definitely talk about
crust punk. In the early 2000s, there was something that was identified, not by myself, but by another group of hardcore researchers as stadium crust, quote unquote, which also became MySpace crust. And that was clean crust.
Are we talking about clean bands crust. Like, are we talking yeah. about bands like, and this is going to get me in trouble, just even trying to offer bands as an example. So you might have to beat these up, but like.
You're on your own.
It wouldn't be so much the bands.
Okay, so but fans of these.
Yeah, like
of bands.
It would be like
Casualties fans. No,
I'm sure maybe like they little, would there be, but not definitely not.
What the, was the band?
Tragedy.
Leftover Crack.
No, I would say more like it would be like Stadium stuff. Crust was Tragedy.
Epic crust. Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, Epic Crust, like yes. From Ashes Rise, yes. And like obviously, yo, I know the dudes in Tragedy. Those dudes live it.
Sure, yeah.
All the time. But. And also, like, not all their fans were like this, but there was a certain type of fan that was identified as being, like, sort of a clean crust kid. You had sort of the advent of, like, the cleaner crust kid.
Like, they smell, but you only know when you go right up to
them.
Well,
Nick, I'm not going down that road.
Oh, Nick, you're throwing that out there.
But the word crust would indicate that you smell.
No, crust is a type of music.
No, but the phrase crusty is like a crusty punk.
Yeah, but, like...
And that has more to do... Like, the music never sounded crusty.
It sounds crusty.
No, the music sounds like it's in a cave and a fucking bunch of...
But that's
yeah,
like
kind of crusty.
But yeah, it's kind of crusty, but I feel like it is related to the fact that it's like there is a look. It involves shorts, sleeveless, you know, tanks, a farmer's tan.
Well, that's, yeah, that's like...
tattoos, you
that's
know,
different than things. Stadium crust. So like, I think okay. like, so you have all these like different weird things that are kind of offshoots of like sort of like what was one time in the in the early 90s,
episode.
Broadly termed crusty. Right, like so. But then there became this thing that people became identifying like traveler punks as oogles,
mm-hmm.
and it was like they're like a homeless punk, generally okay. considered like lower tier, like you know, like when everyone's saying like this is what someone would say to mm-hmm. describe an oogle in a negative way. And so there's
I
like
I can see how someone then, can interpret that as offensive.
Yeah, absolutely,
I
absolutely.
Mean, and the sort of like stereotypes, which I now I'm going to describe, would be like you militarize your dog. You know, like you sort of turn into this. It's like a hybrid mule kind of like tiger kind of combo. You know, with like a laser on its head. You put a laser pointer on your dog's head. It's like, you know, like I mean, to me, it has like a Mad Max. It's people who are kind of like, fuck it, we're just gonna like roam and get our shit.
Yeah,
and you know,
yeah, like and it's like
it combines a lot of different philosophies. Well,
and
into
then also like
this one
and the idea of being like a nomadic,
yeah.
hermetic
okay.
type
and
person
also the
that
idea,
exists throughout
you know?
Cultures and civilizations
sure.
forever.
Yeah.
You
but
know,
now,
so.
As kind
so
of a lay person,
just those, what's happening is people are having sometimes coming from like affluent situations and saying like
yes.
making that choice.
Well,
that's another.
And
yeah,
then there's right also now. Like you know obviously. A certain percent of the this population has fallen victim to drug abuse, or there's certain aspects of the population that is
mental
alcohol abuse, mental health issues.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
like,
there's so many things, and even like a situation like that, it really lends itself to like a cult type of thing sometimes, where one person becomes kind of like the alpha of
yeah.
a group, and then you're just sort of like hanging out with them, but and
that happens in any scene.
Yeah, it's true. But
now, as a lay person. now I'm being introduced to this, the minutia of this whole crust movement.
Yeah, I mean by two people who are
not really involved. Right. This is like the equivalent of listening to like Fox News describe like David police brutality in America.
But we could be talking about like the Chicago White Sox.
Right. Right.
Now.
Yeah. But you know more than I do. I didn't know it went as deep as this. But I'm asking from a practical standpoint. Obviously, these people want to show everybody, you know, where they stand in the scene. They have certain patches. They listen to certain bands. Where do they listen to these bands?
That was what I was going to say.
It's a very practical question.
These are the kind of the most visible, like that you would see people like that, especially in groups, would be at like a punk festival. I would say a fest, like Chaos and Tejas, or even at Not Dead Yet or something here in Toronto. Yeah. Like.
They have a home stereo.
They'd be like outside of a show.
They don't have a home library.
But there's people that will like accept travelers to come over and listen to music. And you know, like people now have iPods and phones.
And there's a culture.
Like,
a
lot of going on before iPods.
But this new development is now like my wife works with a lot of the homeless population formerly homeless population, I should say, sorry. And a lot of people have phones, you know, like it's like you find somewhere to phone, you know, like and some of these people couch surf, you know, there's a lot of different ways.
Well, it's funny, you know,
I think before when you're talking about crusties, like, you know, people would crash at crash pads and hear records.
But they would still have the patches.
But you would also have
places
like...
Where do you hear the music? Do you even know this, or is it just part of the uniform?
There were definitely crusty punks that would go to Full Blast.
Yeah.
And buy records, like come with money to buy records and like go to.
But then that goes back to what Nick was saying.
No, these were like communal stereos.
No, yeah, it's not even that simple. It's like, you meet Montreal as a place, and Europe, you know, this is where that sort of thinking becomes made practical, I feel, you know, like, so people would have some place like the Loud House, for instance, in Montreal, which is housing, like it's not like a squad or anything, it's like housing, and that's just where there were French and English crusties, you know, and most of those people... Like this guy Steve Bennett, who's almost like the most famous crusty possibly in the world, and is this dude who was in an Epsy for a bit.
He has Bum Life tattooed on his fingers.
He has Bum Life. He has Fuck Work tattooed on his knuckles. And
this is not to be derogatory, this dude, because you played the Loud House. It was the most organized venue
that's
you
it.
Would ever
and,
play.
And Steve,
they would pay
Steve
you,
has this,
feed
like,
you.
School bus, mini school bus that he would tour with his bands in. You basically go, I want to do what I want, and I'm also going to kind of like gain some survival skills and building skills, you know, like on the way, and you kind of just like try to do this other thing. It gets tricky.
Yeah, like,
and then you're on welfare the whole time.
Well, then
also.
There's also like you read that New York hardcore book, right? Like all those kids, like in the Lower East Side, like they would live in like 20 people to our house. You know, people would be crashing and stuff like that on the flop house type thing, and like crash house, and like
that's where it has that weird kind of dovetailing with like, you know, low income, like in hip hop, when like 10 or like all of Wu-Tang is like sleeping in like a mansion or like that, you know, it's like. Or like a not a mansion, but like a place. When I went to interview some Canadian rap group in Regent Park, I remember I went into like, which is low income housing in Toronto. It's like it was gnarly. It was like a safe house. Like there's a guy sleeping on the couch. There's baby toys on the floor. You know, like it was like.
Did you do this for Playboy TV?
No, that was most recently I did a streeter on. Paul Spence hooked me up with that. Strangely.
Like in that Vice Atlanta or the noisy Atlanta dock, there's like all amigos live in this one suburban house.
Amigos?
Yeah,
I saw that. I can't remember.
Have you seen that doc? Yeah,
I can't remember. I'm getting my docs.
There's the Chicago one called Chirac, and then they did the Atlanta one. And they're both by Andy Capper. Like,
crazy.
Yeah, like
old school
hardcore dude from England, played in Dead Wrong and Handsome Devils, which was like a rough trade band. But like, you know, it's so funny because he also, you know, is works there and does all these weird things and gets all these weird things on there. Like when you see a Judge documentary on Vice, it's like,
so getting, this is a very good segue. You're doing the Vice thing right now.
Well, I'm just going.
Is it a
show or is it a documentary? Because I saw one piece; it was like 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's 22 minutes. They're making them. 20 minutes.
They're episodes.
They're episodes, basically. But I've only made two. I made one last year.
One on Denver.
Yeah, well, this one's on Denver and Vancouver. That's what I did most recently.
So did you go? You went to Denver.
I went to Denver. That's and Vancouver. Great. Denver's cool.
I've heard
Vancouver's
cool.
Crazier.
For weed?
Yeah, it's like Vancouver's the craziest place in the world.
Yeah, because it was saying that there was like more Tim Hortons, more smoke shops than like
dispensaries.
Tim Hortons
yeah.
or Starbucks or something.
Than Tim Hortons at this point in the city. It's crazy.
That
There's
is
like 90
crazy.
Of them. They're all, you know, operating in a gray market. They all, most of them, well, at least all the ones we went to, worked with doctors. You know, like you have to have a doctor's certificate. Like they're not just handing you weed off the street type thing. But,
Right. But
you know, they work with doctors that are definitely sympathetic and naturopaths that are sympathetic and they're trying to regulate them now in the city. The city's trying to put in a business license. The federal government's been like, no way.
Seems
you,
like
you're using Denver
hardest.
as the
well, just to be like
as the model.
10,000 direct new jobs, like new jobs that didn't exist. And then there's also like, how much work has it been for electricians, plumbers, general contractors?
Oh, going
like,
that deep. Yeah.
Growing stores. Like, how many hydroponic stores do you see? And they're all, like, psychedelic and green.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they say about in L.A. Everybody, all the jokes about the California weed thing. It's like, you know, you go to this place that's got, like, this medical sign. It's like a doctor's, like, a babe in a bikini with a lab
coat. It's coming. It's coming. Like, it's just like it's just, yeah, I don't know. It was stupid.
You got the shakes? Yeah.
I think prohibition of anything is stupid because people still want it, and it could be sex work, and it could be
I mean that's what drugs, I was just saying, you know? Like before when we were talking about this before you got here, it's like this whole thing to me. The whole problem with everything is the shame that we feel.
Yeah,
you know, and it's like obviously you feel it the most for the stuff that's, and we feel it for shit that's not even that big of a deal.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes, or I do, but it's like things like hard drugs and sex work and all that stuff, and it's like it's just like a reality. So like face that this is something people are doing to cope and or you know on both ends. Like, whether it's selling it to make money or, you know, or doing it because they just want to feel anxious for a second or whatever, like, the reason is everyone does this shit.
At some point in history, like, people have been doing this for, like, as long as we've existed, like, getting fucked up, you know,
man.
And trying to have sex, you know?
Cavemen used to eat, like, each other's bodies.
Well, yeah, they're eating, one point, there was a cave person who walked by a pile of shit. Saw a mushroom growing out and was like, you know what? Fuck it. And tried it.
Yeah.
And that's how they found out about psychedelic mushrooms. Like, this is all this stuff that has had to have happened at some point in history. And, like, you read all this stuff in history and it dates back, like, you know, in India and Persia. Like, what was now India and Persia? There's been people, like, using cannabis and using, you know, in Syria, Syrian rue's been used for centuries. And, like, it just doesn't make sense. You know, we're just hurting people. And ruining lives. There's people still in America on
in
life
jail
for weed,
for just simply carrying.
There's five people with life sentences for marijuana in America.
Wow.
And it's like this is also at the same time that there's people becoming like legitimate millionaires for it too. Like
sure.
That's the thing in Colorado. That was like the terrifying thing is like, well now it's like another
free market.
Well, another Canadian industry that's going to be, we're going to have to be buying from America because by the time we have our shit set up, it's going to be all, their businesses are all going to be really established.
Well, there's no, I mean, it's just the classic thing. It's like, we just move like a lumbering, a giant that is filled with nothing.
But in 2000, if we had legalized in 2006 or 8, was Chrétien talking about it, we would have had a chance to build up an industry and America would have legalized by now because that was coming. But America threatened a trade war. So that's
why
they backed down.
I mean, in 2006, when Bush is still in office, you know,
I know,
it's like
but
you're not thinking like that. And also on top of that, we're just such a pragmatic nation, you know. And then it drives me crazy. Like, and now we're a bit fucked for it. And it's like, and it's such a gray area. That's the worst part of it is that we all exist. Like in Toronto, there's so many places where there's, you know, people who are doing this as their livelihood, basically, like, and letting people smoke pot at these places. Like, I can talk about
that. Yeah, the vaporizer bars are definitely very well promoted at this point.
The first time Team Card Combo played in Montreal was this place, Jailhouse, and I think it was called Jailhouse, and I remember that place. And all of our friends were like, and it was like space shits, all sex arenas, people, and like they all came to hang out with us outside, and we're like, we're not going in, man. We can't come to the show. We fucking hate the guy putting on the show.
Yeah,
we hate that guy. We love you guys, but
I love the guy who put on those shows.
The guy,
and he just put on our last show last week, Dom.
Yeah.
It was just like, you know, yeah, random. All, and like, it's funny you say that, like, about Montreal. This is the guy who had beef with the Deadly Snakes, with Robin Black and the Intergalactic Rockstars. What are some of the other bands you had beef with?
Us for a while.
Danko Jones, probably.
I was in a band that was involved. Not you directly,
but Danko Jones else beef. In your band.
Brutal Knights didn't really have that much beef, but I feel like we... I mean, I guess, like, I just think it's funny to say, like, I hate you. Like,
no, but I think, like, it was just more the era.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was the era, like, of the late 90s, like hate zines. Like, Vice, they say in that book, like, they were inspired by, like, Answer Me and, sure. and Fuck.
And they hated, zines, they like would that. Talk shit about everything, you know? And, like, it just is insane. Well, now it seems insane to be that dismissive of everybody.
Yeah, but that was the time, right? Like, you were, like...
It's us versus defining yourself as what you don't like.
Well, even, like, you look at
what you don't like.
The misanthropic hardcore stuff.
Oh, right? Sure. Like all my lyrics, like, you know, are so... Like, especially the Teen Cred Combo ones, you know? And, like, it was, like, so, like... It's like a teenager. That's all it is. And then it's so you're just a teenage boy, like, expressing... anything, like, I'm barely able to express anything. Yeah, so if you can,
you wrote for Vice.
I wrote for the comedy issue.
I thought you wrote reviews for a second.
No, I don't think so.
Teen Crud was going to have it. It was interviewed too, right?
They reviewed Brutal Knights, like Artie from the Champs reviewed Brutal Knights, and then we did a Vice interview for in England, and we did a Noisy.
The Teen Crud one never came out, but it was supposed to. But you guys broke up, I think, just before.
And did I write an article about ourselves?
Yeah, I think that was the story. I think that was the story.
This is like my entire problem, by the way.
I'm reading,
trying to get
it. I'm on Pitchfork, like, and I'm reading this Pitchfork review of the Sharpling and Worcester box set.
Mm-hmm.
And then it starts talking about all the people that wrote essays, and they're all hyperlinked to like shit about them, like
who
reviews
they are and stuff.
Mine isn't. Just like, yeah. And a that great like, essay about Damien by Damien Abraham.
Right.
And that's it.
Because your name isn't hyperlinked, it's almost like, this man does not exist.
I'm like, and I like Google. I'm like, I gotta search it on the pitch. Like, and it's just like something really minor, and I'm like, I'm not actually bummed about it, but I'm like, actually, I'm like, what the fuck?
It would bother me too.
What a weird thing.
You have things that you want people to know about.
Include
a link.
But no,
even then,
it's just like even then, just for the context of the article, like it just makes me seem like some random.
Do you feel like it was othering you?
No, I'm not going to appropriate that. I'm not going down when this isn't a Nick Flanagan comedy show here. I'm not making some weird, sketchy jokes, my friend.
There is no weird, sketchy jokes.
That's the name of your next album.
Go your album with sketchy jokes.
Weird, sketchy jokes.
Yeah, maybe I got to come up with an album name.
We are the sketchy and proud.
We are the sketchy and proud.
Call
my album "Kill the Children, Save the Food," but I don't reference the Gigi Allen song of the same name, which is a racist Gigi Allen.
I could say, call your record "David Comes to Life," just don't call it "Glass Boys." In my experience,
you feel like the Glass Boys' response was not what you wanted. I'm going journalistic on you suddenly, seizing on a word.
No, I don't think so.
Nice.
It's like if you're in a band. Every day, you both know this, every day you wake up and there's someone still likes your band, you're like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, because like you try hard. It's not to say you're not trying hard and you're not working at it. But like at the same time, so are a billion other bands on this planet.
No,
that's
true. And there's no reason anything should be more important, like more noticed than another thing.
Yeah, like there's like at the end of the day, like, you know, that's why like we talked about this before, but like awards to me are awesomely... randomly amazing because they're just like random. It's just like an arbitrary thing because it's just like, it's you know, obviously you work hard to get on people's radars, but like, can you, it's like not even like comparing apples and oranges. It's like comparing apples and like a burrito from Chipotle that I want to eat.
Yeah. What's the comparison?
But I know where we're going with that.
Yeah. Are you comparing apples to Chipotle? Awards?
But like I just kind of think it's just one of those things where you're just like, it's just like you're so lucky that you're in a band that people paid attention to. Like there's just like so many bands that you think about like how many bands like even to be a band that people remember. Like I think about like, because I just obsess over bands that people forget, and there's so many awesome ones that people just don't.
But you're talking about that review slight feel, and I feel like actually
been forgotten.
Hmm?
Well, it was more. It wasn't even though someone said I've been forgotten. It was more just like,
why no hyperlink?
Well, like, why no the hype? Why me?
Like, why I'm not a person doing things? So
well, no, it wasn't even that. It was just more like, just like I wonder what that thought process
probably
was.
The coding just got fucked up.
Do you know what I mean?
Maybe. Like, yeah, it
could be something as simple as
it could
glitch.
Be. It could be.
But, you know, you
hyper-focus on yourself. But that doesn't play into your paranoid delusions.
Yeah, of course.
It doesn't play into your insecurities.
It's really funny because, like, that's really where it all gets weird when you get slighted is it, like, just comes to this thing where you're kind of like, no, but I'm the center for me, so just doesn't everyone can't someone help me with that, like and be aware of that? And
exactly. Why did you not like what I did?
It's like, I did not like it.
It's just like, I think I'm lucky that I was such a hater for so long of so many things for no reason.
Yeah.
That now it's like, I just think back like, yeah, but what would you have done? And I'm like, yeah, I would have probably definitely not hyperlinked my name. You know, I would have.
Well, that's it. It's like, I mean, it comes back to that thing where I feel like bad that I was just like hating everything for so long. And I was like, I feel like I have to backtrack to improve myself. Cause everyone was like, you're like, oh, I learned about all this cool culture when I was 13. Yeah, but you didn't learn how to cook.
No,
you never learned how to fucking cook food until like 2 years ago.
But at the same time, for ex-recovering haters, and I'm not including myself.
No, you're practicing.
Continue hating if it's real, if it's genuine.
Absolutely.
Don't
but
check
like,
yourself.
But I think my thing is, why.
Like,
but like the reason I can't, like unless you hate on something that's really bad.
I do hate that word hater, though. Like, it does feel like when you hear like...
But like, okay, when you
Adam Levine be like, there's so many haters out
but
there.
But like, when you're like, okay, but that's a perfect
Adam
example.
Adam Levine has never said that.
I have no time for Adam Levine's music.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Right?
Yeah, I don't mind using him.
Like, it's not my music.
I hear a butt coming on.
But at the same time, yeah, it makes people happy. And it's like, I have music that I like that is really hateful. That is people saying bad things like
bands, brain bombs.
Like well, like no, or sheer terror. Just can't hate enough about how awesome it is to hate. And that
N-I-N.
And I get enjoyment from that kind of negativity. So it's like, as long as it doesn't impose, it's when this culture imposes itself on you that you want to lash out
and
push it away.
You know,
but otherwise,
I think that's really interesting that we're talking about the '90s and it's like that was when you felt that imposition. Strongly,
I'm in a mall and or unless I'm googling it or searching it, it can stay out of my news cycle. I switched to watching like Vice News and Al Jazeera News, and it's just like, whoa, there's like nothing of this in the news cycle. Like if something comes on about the royal family on like CBC or something, I'm like boink,
but
change the next channel.
Just to go back to the band thing for a second, like my whole thing lately is like. You know, so you get the thing where you feel slighted in a review, but it's also a lot of the time when people come up to you and tell you they like you, sometimes they're so awkward about it that they wind up feeling obliged to kind of like dial it down or add a but or do it in the past tense.
Are you saying me about Adam Levine?
If I met Adam Levine, I wonder what I would say.
His
to make
first
him feel
band
good.
Opened for like Save Ferris at the Opera.
I would say, well, Save...
Really?
Yeah.
I would probably say something to make him feel better.
I just read something
like,
about
him. Great.
That's
You're
still Maroon
abs.
5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That became Maroon 5. Maroon 5.
Yeah, you know, but it had a different name.
Yeah.
I have an awesome
but they
Maroon
got
5
their
joke.
But they got their deal.
Guys, I'm not going to tell it. But
they got their deal because they played some sort of private party.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's still like, but like, you know.
Because
his
rich background was able to get
yeah,
into
but,
this
but,
private
but
party.
Yeah, but the same token.
No hating.
I got my break because I knew, because I didn't lose my virginity till I was 20. And I had my entire teen years to study and obsess over punk and hardcore. And so when we met the Matador dudes, we hit it off with them because we all knew and talked about the same shit. And I knew all the obscure stuff they had done. Oh. Sorry.
Is that your alarm?
No, it's George Pettit offering me a ride home to I think Ottawa, or telling me maybe I can't.
Are you going to Ottawa?
Yeah, we're playing Ottawa on Saturday.
With Dead Tired?
Yep.
Nice.
Dead Tired.
Oh, you are playing. With Dead Tired. I didn't know that was... Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
that would be a great gig.
Yeah.
Yeah, we played with them before.
We played with them.
Yeah.
The other...
You guys played with them?
Hamilton. Yeah, yeah. We played with them in Hamilton. It was a blast.
I'm not going to drive it.
Good band.
You didn't drive out to Burlington, apparently, either, because that's where we played with them.
No. Yeah.
And no. I guess I'm not going to see you in Ottawa Saturday, am
no,
I?
No,
I'll
be there.
Be there. Okay, good.
No, but I mean, I guess I've talked to a lot of people who have just been like, yeah, man, I listened to your band a lot when I was, like, really young.
Oh, yeah, but that's like, it, but I don't know. At least you have that time with these people.
Right? Oh, that's great.
Like, that's like one of those things.
Oh, for sure.
I don't know. Maybe it's because
it's a good thing.
I just never throw stuff away, you know? Like, I just never, like, get rid of taste. So for me, it all exists in the present, you know?
I'm like you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like
but, like,
that.
There are people that have to, like, and that's probably why we're so crazy. Because, like, there's people that shed it. Like, you know, like, they're just like, oh, I'm glad I'm not a punk anymore. I'm glad I'm a raver now. And then they, like, shed that and they become an indie rocker or something.
But, I mean, I'm also writing lyrics that are, like, you know, like, have a baby's vocabulary and then, like, are about, like, the problems that somebody should get over at, like, the time they're 18, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't actually want anybody to, like, I feel bad saying about these hotel, these, like any tattoos related to, like, bands, a band I was in, it's like, I kind of, I'm like, oh, my God, you got grow up, throw up. Well, that's actually kind of a cool tattoo.
And it's also, believe me, not the worst tattoo people have gotten. You could be a hatchet man.
No, well, a hatchet man.
With grow up.
You could get, like, Alice in Chains, like a tattoo of a like promo shot of the new lineup post.
Well, I'll tell you. Oh, really? You want to say that? The lead singer of that band was in Blast and was in Neon Christ. So
okay. Well then, but he's not in it.
Hey! I love T-Grid Combo. You're one of the greatest bands of all time. But Blast.
Sorry.
Come on, fucking
you
Blast.
You can have a tattoo of Neon Christ? Jerry Cantrell as a Juggalo.
Okay,
that would actually be a cool tattoo.
That'd be kind of cool too.
Is that how we're going to end
it? Is that the end? I feel like we...
That's how we end it?
Did we really... This feels like... It's
52
like
minutes.
We need to get our plugs in now.
Oh, yeah. Flans.com. Theflans.com.
You have a show on the Food Network.
No, it's gone.
What?
You did.
I think it was just like... We shot it last year. Just two episodes. It was a web series, and they were like, we like it. Can we put it on TV?
Sure, yeah.
So they put it on TV a couple times, and maybe they'll run it again, but... I think that's probably it for the food show.
What was it called?
Junk Foodies. Or Super Snack. Sorry. Super Snack Bros.
Super Snack Bros.
It's still around. Like, it's still online. Maybe it got picked up by someone else.
But you're lean and mean now. You're very lean. You're the leanest.
That's the weed, dude.
I've seen it.
Wouldn't it be not the weed? Because you'd get the munchies?
No, I think once I got control of my anxiety, I realized that I was, like, quote-unquote, medicating by eating, you know, like I look at the way I was acting on tour.
So you chose a new medication.
Yeah, I chose a new medication. Yeah. You know, and it allowed me to get off my other medication of anti-anxiety pills.
I like
too.
To do all the medication.
Well, a lot of people do. Like, I just found something that works for me. Like, that's the thing is, I would never be like, you need to do this because you know who knows how
some
you
people
react
hate
with
it. Yeah,
yeah, like and it's like you know, but then I also by the same token, like some people kill themselves on anti-anxiety pills, right?
Sure.
Like so, it's like
or ADHD,
extreme reactions to everything you put in your body. Like, or like,
so, do you think people
I was drinking
who
six
are...
liters of soda a day, you know, and I even not being. You know, I don't mean to be sizist or fat phobic or anything when I say that, but like that is not healthy for anyone just on a sugar intake.
Well, it's just interesting, right? Because it's like you adopt some lifestyle for ages and then that winds up defining your body type.
Yep.
And then like in your teen, that's how people see you. That's how you see you. And then you're kind of like, oh, actually, if I stopped this one thing that I don't even look like that anymore, like that doesn't define anything.
Oh, it's crazy. Crazy. Like I was interviewing Nate from Converge on my podcast.
Past guest, we share.
We cross streams. Luckily, we keep it different enough that it's never like
we talk about the same stuff.
You got to hyper focus.
Yeah, we have different mic sponsors. That's really what separates us. But then Tomas from At the Gates walked in, and he's like, I know Sumiyu, and I'm like, oh, we've met before, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, you don't look the same. And I'm like, wow. But then it was like, you know, and obviously I only met that guy one other time and things like that. But then I ran into someone, God, the next day that I knew really well, and they were like, you don't look the same.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I guess people remember you a certain way. To me, I don't even think I look that different. You know, it's only when I see like an old photo where I'm like, oh, wow, I guess I was a lot bigger then. And it's not like I tried, you know? Like, it's not like I'm, like, hitting the gym like these, you know, people do. And
you've kind
like
of been, like, consistently sort of, like, slimming down.
Yeah, like, I just started losing.
Years.
It was just, it's because it's been, like, kind of a real, like, gradual thing of just, you know, smoking pot, stopping to drink soda.
Eating only eggplant.
And now I just, yeah, just eat eggplant and just like masturbate 18 times a day.
Your fridge is full of
in a hot box
and cold porno magazines.
So do you have anything coming up to blog or what? Turned Out a Punk. Download that on iTunes.
I'm on Q with Shad now.
That's right. You're on Q.
So that was another. You're like alternating with him.
No. Every 2 weeks I go on and I do a column called More Than Music.
Right.
In reference to the Brotherhood song, and which is amazing that I got a column on the CBC.
Nobody figured out.
I cannot wait to tell the whole story because it's like it connects to so much cool shit, right? But and then yeah, so I just go on every 2 weeks, and they just let me pick a song, and I just talk about the song. And
now it's got to be Canadian, though, right?
No. I did last week. They let me do Advice on Arrest and talk about what was going on in Baltimore and issues police brutality. And Shad talked about it earlier and talked to Mavis Staples about protest music and the importance of protest music. So I said, hey, I want to talk about this song by the Desperate Bicycles, Advice on Arrest.
And Nick,
it's insane.
It's just been all the game.
We got to.
We gotta eat, man.
Yeah, I'm hungry. I gotta give a cat a heart attack pill.
All right. Thanks, Damien.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's been a while. You're back on the podcast.
Been a while.
You're back.
Back. And let's do it again.
Let's have another
part two. In Europe, without this guy.
What?
Can't I Skype in?
Yeah.
Can't I Skype in? Skype me in.
Let's do a Skype one.
All right. See you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.